Welcome to the People Powered Business Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lee Billett. If you employ staff, engage contractors, or rely on people to help deliver your products or services, you're in the right place. Join us each week as we dive in to uncover what makes people tick, learn the best strategies and tactics to build an amazing team, and most importantly, discover how you, the business owner or leader, can unleash the power of your people to help create the successful business you deserve. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to episode number 26 of the People Powered Business Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lee Billett, and thank you so much for joining me here today. How are you? I hope whatever you're up to, you are having a fabulous day and really enjoying a great week in your business. As I mentioned on last week's episode, I'm particularly excited because spring is in the air and I'm really enjoying that we're seeing a little bit more warmer weather in the part of Australia where I live, and I hope you're enjoying that wherever you are as well. Now, before we dive into the details of today's episode of the podcast, I have some exciting news to let you in on. You are the first to hear about a little secret project that I've been working on with my team at the Footprint Group, and this is something that has been swimming around in my head for actually several years now, but it's just something that I haven't brought to fruition. It hasn't sort of all pieced together nicely, but I have been working diligently behind the scenes on getting this ready. And in about 6 or 7 weeks' time, we will be launching a brand new edition, actually tied into this podcast in a way, called Your People Powered Business. And I'm really excited to bring this to you, and I'll have some more news for you about that over the coming weeks. But I just wanted to let you in on that little secret that this is coming very, very soon. And if you are a business owner, a leader, or a manager who looks after a team and would like to get support, be part of a community, and join us in learning more about all the aspects of team and HR, the technical through to the non-technical side of things, this will absolutely be a place for you. So more details on that to come, but I was just so excited about it all coming together that I wanted to give you a little sneak peek today and let you know that it is on the way. So let's dive into today's episode of the podcast. Today on the podcast, we are talking about legislation, but we are not unpacking nitty-gritty details or looking at specific elements in terms of how they apply to your business. Instead today, I'm sharing with you my pet peeves when it comes to HR legislation here in Australia. And these are things that really bother me, but also have quite often really bothered the businesses that I have worked with over the years. These are the things that just drive me nuts. And the reason, I guess, is not because they get under my skin, but they do, but because there's these elements of the legislation that are really inhibiting to employers. They stop employers and business owners from being able to get on with things, and they really, I guess, they create unnecessary complexity in the process, which, look, let's face it, we don't want extra layers of complexity and red tape and burden on our business. Who needs that? So these are the parts of the legislation that I find a bit frustrating and that really get under my skin. And when I talk to other business owners, sometimes they're not even aware of some of these elements of compliance, and sometimes they're equally frustrated and want to know how we can get around it and what we can do. And here's the thing. Whilst I work with the legislation and I'm quite well-versed, very well-versed in fact, I actually don't make the legislation. That might not surprise you, but I do have to play within it, and so do you as a business owner. So I guess in order to play within any legislation in a way that is going to be most beneficial for you and your business, you need to become a bit of an expert at it. Otherwise, you can't leverage it to your advantage. So sometimes clients will get frustrated with me when I tell them what the legislation says, and I say to them, look, I didn't make the rules. I just know them. And you really need to know them in order, as I said, to really get the most out of them, to play them in a way that suits your business without being non-compliant, without breaking any rules or doing anything wrong, of course. but really to be able to maximize how you can best use the legislation, best play within the framework and the boundaries that the legislation sets in a way that doesn't overburden your business and in a way that's not going to get you into any trouble. Because who wants to be dealing with that? Who has time or the energy for that? So you do need to, in some ways, become a bit of an expert in order to be able to do that. And that's where people like me come in. Are you an expert in tax law? Unless you're an accountant listening to this, in which case you should be. But of course, as a normal business owner, you're not. And that's what your accountant is for. The same applies when you're needing to get a property lease done or an agreement in your business. You'll see a conveyancer or a solicitor. Yet as business owners, aside from things like a lawyer and an accountant, we tend to feel as though we need to become the expert on everything. We need to become the expert on sales and marketing, on Facebook advertising. And certainly when it comes to HR law, we feel the same way. Here's the good news. You don't have to become the expert. You can rely on others like me, like all the HR practitioners out there, and there are loads of them, who are experts in the field. They study the law. They look at the updates and they know how to interpret things in a way that you can implement it in your business in a way that is good for your business. Not all SMEs are the same, and certainly what I've learned, as I've discussed here on the podcast with you before, is that HR is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's very different for SMEs compared to corporates. And so truly understanding how you can leverage the legislation within a small to medium-sized business is crucial for you as the business owner. We know that most employers do the right thing. Most of you listening are trying your damn best to do everything correctly and stay ahead and, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's. Yet you often tend to pay when it comes to compliance for the mistakes and the bad behavior of a few, because those are the things that end up adding layers of complexity into the legislation, which can be really, really frustrating. So as I said, whilst I am an expert on the HR law, because that is my profession and that is what I work within day to day, I'm sharing with you today that that does not mean that I love every aspect of it. In fact, quite the opposite. So what I want to share with you today is, as I said, some of these elements of the legislation that really do my head in. They drive me nutty. And how you can understand these as a small to medium-sized business owner so that you can mitigate the risk, remove the risk, and manage these within your business in a way that is not going to create extra complexity and extra burden when it comes to being compliant. So I've got a list of a few for you, but if you have others that also drive you batty, I'd love it if you reached out and let me know, because I love learning about the things that really frustrate other business owners. So what I'll do is I'll put a link in today's show notes to direct to my email address, and just pop me an email and let me know things that really frustrate you about the legislation. I'd love to hear from you. Okay, so here's my handful, and I've just selected a few for you that really do my head in. You probably heard me talk about number one before, and that is annual leave loading. So if you're not aware, if your employees are covered under a modern award, then it is almost certain that there is a clause in there requiring you to pay annual leave loading, which put simply means that there's an additional 17.5% paid to the employee on top of their usual wage when they use annual leave, when they go on a holiday. Now, this does my head in for a lot of reasons, but first and foremost, when you're missing a team member and you're paying for them to be on annual leave, do you want to be paying them more than what you pay them when they're there at work supporting your business? It's a firm no from me. I know it's a legacy issue. I know some industries end up still having to pay it because it's something that is industry standard and industry wise, but this is probably the number one thing that I think you can easily avoid paying, because when you've got a staff member on annual leave, either someone else in the business is picking up the slack to help keep things moving along, or you're possibly paying a temp or a casual to help for that period. So you certainly don't want to then be paying extra to the employee who's off on annual leave. Now, what I do know is that most of you pay well above award rates. And the good news with that is If that is the case, you can often very easily roll annual leave loading into an individual flexibility agreement or annualised wage agreement, meaning that provided you can pass that better off overall test and that your employees are in fact better off under your conditions than by getting the annual leave loading, it's very easy to manage this particular clause and to avoid having to pay that. So annual leave loading is my number one key point of frustration, I think because it's in every award and because unanimously the businesses I deal with do not want to pay extra when their staff member is away from the business on annual leave. All right, number two, and I was just finalising some details about this for another piece of work, but extended sick leave. Sick leave is a protected provision under the Act, which, and I absolutely support that being the case because it's there to protect employees who are genuinely unwell. And that happens to all of us from time to time. But we have issues when it comes to extended sick leave and what an employer can or cannot do with relation to an employee who is absent, sometimes inexplicably, for a really long period of time. Now, of course, a lot of the times there's a genuine issue and you would, of course, support your employee through that process. However, I've noticed a real spike recently, potentially because of the times we're living in with COVID and alike, is that employees are taking leverage of this issue and they're taking extended sick leave. So we've got employees who are simply not attending work right now and on unpaid leave receiving JobKeeper with a medical certificate. But the employer very well knows that they're not actually sick. So once an employee is on sick leave, there is very little you can do, no matter how long they are away for. So an employee could be absent for months with very limited information being provided to you other than a medical certificate, and there is almost nothing that you can do in relation to that. The best way to manage this in your workplace is to have really, really solid policies in place around what people need to do if they are off sick. So their notification requirements, the evidence requirements, and all of those procedural things. Because of course, in a worst case scenario, you've got someone who is on extended sick leave who you know isn't sick and you are stuck. You're completely snookered and you cannot performance manage them. You cannot terminate them. You're kind of in limbo for an extended period of time. I find the lack of avenues available to employers in these circumstances really, really tricky because, of course, it is always the employee that is non-genuine who causes issues here, because if there's an employee who's genuinely tapping into extended sick leave, they're communicating, we know why, and they're doing all the right things to get back to work. So this only ever applies when it's a problem employee, often who's being performance managed and doesn't want to come into work to deal with that. So I find that particularly frustrating. Number three, this one really gets under my skin. The unfair dismissal process. Now, don't get me wrong, I absolutely believe we need to have a process for employees to seek some support if they have been treated unfairly by their employer. However, there are some very clear-cut limitations around who can and cannot claim unfair dismissal, yet any employee can get a claim through the commission, and the employer is the one that then has to spend the time to fight the process. And I think in a certain number of cases where it's very clearly cut that the employee is not eligible to apply, there needs to be a better process in place to stop it getting through the gates and to stop the employer from having to even deal with the situation. So under the current structure, an employer can do all of the right things in relation to terminating an employee. They might be within the minimum employment period. They may have followed a very stringent performance management process before deciding to terminate. And yet, despite doing all the right things, there's nothing to stop the employee making the claim, it coming through to a conciliation process and potentially onto a hearing from there. Now, whilst the employer, having done all the right things, is very likely to win, who wants to spend the time, money, and energy to go through that? I think there are much better ways we could stop claims coming through from that perspective. And as I said, the same applies if it is a performance-based termination process. And one of the other bugbears I have here is how easy it is for an employee. And again, there's been a spike in this recently. I was reading in some research that's just come out in employees going on to workers' compensation claims, claiming that they're experiencing workplace stress as a result of being performance managed. Now, of course, as we go through that process, we find that, of course, the employer was just following process and, you know, is in the right. But the time, money and energy taken to get to that point, once an employee has put in that workers' compensation claim, it just creates unnecessary burden on the employer. For what reason? They were doing all of the right things. So I, you know, absolutely having a structured performance management process will assist you there. But again, this is one of my bugbears because the employer, again, is hamstrung with limited options. Not to say that you wouldn't come out on top in terms of winning that particular process, but it frustrates me that employers have to participate and be dragged through that process for no fault of their own. Another one that is a little bit frustrating for many employers is the issue of abandonment of employment. It is actually incredibly difficult to prove that someone has necessarily abandoned their employment in certain circumstances. So if the employee has indicated that they are unwell and unable to contact you, even if they don't provide a medical certificate and you've had no further communication from them, it can be very difficult to determine that they have in fact abandoned employment, and therefore you're in limbo. You can't terminate because you don't know what's happening, and there's some really strong rules around that. The best way, though, a great way to combat this ever becoming an issue, is to have a really clear abandonment of employment clause in your employment contracts, or of course in a policy or a procedure in the workplace. There are only a handful of modern awards that have a clause that deals with this, but those awards provide a great structure that you could add in to an employment contract to give yourself some certainty about what should happen in that scenario so that you're not left in limbo. Now, I guess this is a clause that makes me laugh a lot. There's a couple of awards, I should say, that have a lot of different loadings, and many of these centre around the building and construction industry. And of course, they need to have different loadings because the type of work that the employees do is varied, and various circumstances apply. But there's a couple of awards that have a loading which is effectively a loading for simply turning up to work. And no, I'm not joking. So it's a loading that applies every day to every employee covered under these particular awards. I call it the turning up to work loading, and I think it's utterly ridiculous. Just put it in the base rate and be done with it. If we need to give someone a loading for turning up, we're in a really serious problem. So that one makes me laugh more than anything, but it is obviously quite clearly ridiculous. And of course, the other thing that is frustrating many people at the moment is the constant change and trying to keep up with it all. You know, if you're not already subscribed, you can subscribe on the Fair Work website to get updates in relation to your particular award. But there's, you know, all sorts of changes happening constantly at the moment, so keeping up with it can be pretty tricky, even for those of us who are in amongst it day in, day out. So I can appreciate that for many businesses that is causing a sense of frustration, and it can be really tricky to make sure you're keeping on top of it all. In addition to that, one of the other things, and I guess this goes a little bit back to when I was talking to you about the unfair dismissal process, what we find, particularly as changes occur in the legislation, is that there can often be no clear-cut answer about how a component of the legislation should be applied or interpreted until it gets tested in a court, in a law-making decision capacity. Now, obviously, we don't want it to get to that point for us to be able to prove that we're interpreting it correctly or incorrectly, but that's the situation we find ourselves in, that there's often a lack of clarity around how a particular clause or how some of the legislation is interpreted until it hits a court or a hearing. And we saw this just recently in relation to the accrual of leave for part-time staff. And that the wording of that part of the legislation has gone through several different layers of the court and the hearing process with different determinations being made. And that's a national employment standard issue. That is core fundamental legislation. Yet 10 years into the Fair Work Act existing, we're still seeing court cases changing how we interpret parts of the legislation. You know, of course, ideal world, we want it to be really clear and simple and easy for people to understand and implement into their businesses. But we are dealing with issues of interpretation of law, and I sometimes have disagreements with clients because they're interpreting it one way, I'm interpreting it another, and at the end of the day, provided you can justify your interpretation, I think you're in a pretty good spot, but you don't want to be dealing in interpretation, yet that is exactly the situation that we find ourselves in. We've got a legislation that, like all pieces of law, I guess, is open to interpretation, and what one person reads it as can be quite different to another. So we're waiting on potentially a hearing or a court case to come forward that clarifies it for us so that we've all got a way forward, which is, you know, far from ideal. So they are just a handful, I said, of the elements of the legislation that drive me a bit batty. And I wanted to share those with you purely to, I guess, demonstrate that whilst as HR practitioners, we get the legislation inside out, we interpret it, we know what we're dealing with, but it doesn't mean that we love it all of the time. And we get that as business owners, you don't love it either. And so our job is to help you to maximise your use of the legislation, make sure that you are not only compliant, but really leveraging the best components of the legislation and protecting your business from any elements that might leave you at risk or just dealing with unnecessary burden or stress or complexity. As I said, if you have other elements of the legislation that really annoy you, I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear about them. So in today's show notes, I'll pop a link to my email address. Pop me an email. Let me know, and I would absolutely love to hear from you. In the meantime, I hope you have a fabulous week. You can always connect with us on Facebook over at the People Powered Business page on Facebook. And next week, I look forward to speaking with you more in relation to all things to do with your team and your people. Have a fabulous week. Thanks for joining me. And I look forward to speaking with you next week on the People Powered Business Podcast.